right now on VFN TV, the history of revivals in the world and America, how God actually used one particular man to speak to government, to prophesy a revival, but first came was difficult times and a drought. Do you know we're about to come out of that? As a matter of fact, I think I see this, the cloud, a particular cloud, the size of a man's hand. It's about to rain right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light.
Here's what the Holy Spirit said. He said, I have many ministers, and they are speaking on my behalf. But he said, what's missing is the urgency of your voice. These mega churches are really cognizant not to offend people. And they're really careful when they get up and preach to people that everybody leaves out there feeling really good. Preachers refuse to preach on the coming of Jesus Christ. Where's the urgency? I have never seen America in the place where we are right now. If you think that all the persecution is going to remain in Iraq against the Christians, you better think again. It's already coming into this country right now. If we don't tell people what they need to hear, God's going to hold us accountable and their blood will be on our hands. Whenever we preach, we've got to preach with an urgency in our voice that we need to be right with God if anything should happen to us. There's things right now in motion that may change our nation almost overnight. And for me to stand here and act like everything's all right, I can't do that. The politicians in Washington may can do that and lead you to believe that everything's going to be okay. But in the house of God, there's about to arise a siren that says, blast, 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 attention, attention, attention. Things are changing and they're changing quickly. We've got to have preachers in the pulpit that will say, watch out, warning, warning, red light, warning. People know something's going on in the Middle East. They know something's going on in Iraq, in Iran, in Damascus. They know about Iran. And people that's not even scripturally literate are trying to answer these things, and they're missing in a million miles. And God's saying to the preachers, get up and tell them. It's time to talk about what God's doing. People are seeking the Lord. People are seeking Christ. And if they don't find him in the church, where are they going to find him?
Got an invitation to come back that the Lord laid on my heart, and that's when Mr. Tuart asked me about, did you have a dream? And I did. That's when he told me about the coming storm. And as I'm about to go into prayer, I just want to say the Lord laid on my heart. I said, I'm not going to share it unless somebody asks me to come. And Commissioner Barry asked me to come. And I said, this is it. I was going to share it. That there's another level about to happen.
Riots are coming. Riots in the streets are coming. And if we're not careful, shortly after the next election, the anger will mount so much that we'll end up having martial law declared. Loss of life is taking place.
Sysco and Kraft considers guards on delivery trucks as food nears 40% of the family budget. But a little bit of what I remember reading had something to do with food was so expensive, people would actually rob food trucks.
These are people in Venezuela seizing food trucks, anything they can get their hands on.
No, even in the midst of great consequences, when they said, we're going to turn you over, we're going to turn you over to Shishak. We're going to turn you over to the king of Egypt. We're going to turn you over to people who want to oppress you. And believe me, they're lined up right now wanting to oppress, you know, America. But, you know, Shishak, our proverbial Shishak, they're all lined up. It's going to be horrific if we don't turn back to God, but it's going to be great if we do.
If we stay on this road, it's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be just us morphing into some socialist, type of country. It's going to be, I think, worse than what was experienced in Nazi Germany. And dialogue, trying to understand, because I believe what happened there was a dress rehearsal for what the devil's trying to do in the whole world.
If we abandon God, God will abandon us, but not just leave us so we can actually sin more. We'll have tyrannical leadership over us. And right now we're seeing tyrants galore out there ready to move into this place.
I think the way the world is going, the way the U.S. is going, I think there's going to come a time, and it's probably going to be sooner than later, when what I do in a public forum is going to be labeled as a hate crime.
Some disturbing news from Russia. President Vladimir Putin signed a law outlawing evangelism and cracking down on house churches. The laws forbid evangelism outside of churches and other religious sites. That means people can't even share their faith in their homes or even on the internet.
Well, you don't think God could put a tyrant over America? You don't think God could put a tyrant that oppresses the church? What have we been doing? What have we been doing as a church?
The purpose of this subcommittee hearing is to assess the degree to which the administration is willfully turning a blind eye to radical Islamic terrorism and the consequences for the safety and security of the American people.
Our power doesn't come from some self-declared savior promising that he alone can restore order as long as we do things his way. We don't look to be ruled.
God is just. You think this last 7 years has been tough, this 8 years have been tough? That's just Jehoiakim. Zedekiah is right on the precipice of coming to pass in this nation.
The Lord says there's going to be a forced conclusion that's coming to the White House. People will lose trust in the voting process.
We're not going to make it through the times that are coming without being his disciples and more, without growing up into our purpose.
Global sanity depends on the willingness of the U.S. to defy odds rather than be defied by the odds.
And that so happens that communism is a system that I disagree with philosophically. I would not prefer to live under a communist system. I happen to feel that the great moments of history have been those moments when individuals have been left free to think and to act. And I feel
he said, my people are going to cry out to me. I said, when? And he says, it will keep getting darker until they do. It will keep getting darker until they do.
This is the year of the wind. This year will be very unusual on many levels. As a matter of fact, a phrase will be repeated over and over on the lips of many nations. You will hear it said, I have never seen anything like this before. There will be a great stir among the peoples of the nations. Seemingly nothing will remain normal any longer. This will not just be an American phenomenon, but it will touch all the continents. The Lord shall rise up and make himself known. The forgotten shall shout for joy. The heathen will see a great light. Unbelievers will take another look. Experts will be stumped. Nations shall be shaken, but kingdoms will be jolted. Lord, raise up mighty men and women. Raise up young people. Raise up voices, not echoes. Voices that can cut through and make politicians and judges shake in their boots. Raise up prophetesses. Put a sure word in their mouth. Let it hit the news channels. Let America know God is not through with America. Revival! Revival!
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is Steve Kolesetsky. Well, you think about it. You think about Gideon. I don't know if you remember Gideon or heard about Gideon, but he was an Israeli. He was a Jew. He was eking out a living. Things have been really bad. They've been in a time of oppression, oppressive government. The particular government that was over them at the time was oppressive, and just he had to be in a wine press eking out a living. And all of a sudden, the Lord shows up in the midst of this great governmental oppression, in the midst of nobody remembering what God did historically, and looks at Gideon and says, mighty man of valor. You know, and here he is in the midst of eking out a living, right? He looks up at this angel, and he's looking like, mighty man of valor. And that was the beginning of God reviving Israel. I mean, it looked bleak. It looked difficult. It looked really tough. But understand, that's how we all, it always comes to that point. That we're at the most humblest point. And the darkest moment of the night is right before the dawn in the morning. And I don't want you to give up hope. I want you to realize all along the reason why we're doing what we're doing, you know, at VFN, the VFN Dream Center, and VFN TV is to encourage you. We see a future. We hear the sound of rain coming, and we wanted to be able to help you get through the situation as we come out into the light. And first today, I want to remind you of the history of revival in America, the many moves of God and all the many of the men and women that are being used by God. And we're going to look back at the life of Elijah, not Gideon, and see what happened in the history. Look, it gets you really encouraged because sometimes it's, you're feeling that your worst, God's about to do his greatest thing. Let's take a look.
But love. They keep on forever.
He gave his life. He says, no man takes my life from me, I lay it down.
No one I ever talked to that had an experience was sorry.
I want to see somebody shot without music. I want to see somebody shot without drums.
Smith Wigglesworth prophesied in 1947 these words. When the current church phase is on the decline, there will be something that has not been seen before. It will be a coming together of those with an emphasis on the Word and those with an emphasis on the Spirit. When the Word and the Spirit come together, there will be the biggest movement of the Holy Spirit that the nation and indeed the world has ever seen. It will mark the beginning of a revival that will eclipse anything that has been witnessed.
God! Bring forth a Jesus movement where everyone's getting saved. Signs and wonders in the streets leading to stadium.
This is so exciting. Do you think about it? You know, we're seeing history and things that took place. If God's done it before, he can do it again. And in some of the bleakest times, God begins to move. So I want to encourage you. You know, maybe 7-8 years ago, people thought that we didn't need revival. We didn't need to turn to God. And now we're hearing people unify and coming together and to cry out to God. And we're beginning to see the beginning stages of rain, the blessings of God being poured down in revival. It's about to take place in the nation, and I believe the world. Join us after the break because we're going to talk in detail about this. Make sure you join us.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFN TV and the Daily Radio program. Every single day, we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch, our program that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day, plus things that you need to know, is right there for you where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in addition in SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at VFNTV.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to your Apple App Store. You can go to Google Play Store or your Windows Store and get your app and download it. The app is called VFNTV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. We have our little area there that you can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is prudent preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today and how to think outside the box. And this is something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well. And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFNTV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partnered for any dollar figure at all to be able to say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area to be able to focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching. Welcome back. Isn't that so exciting, Steve, to be able just to see history?
Yes.
You know, and I think about the Lord's just really been speaking to me about a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Some things I can share, some things I can't share. And but one is, you know, when you look back at the 60s and the 70s that birthed a lot of these folks today that are doing what they're doing, but there was a powerful move of God at the very same time.
Yeah.
And we're showing me. I think we're going to go back to that time again where it's going to be common to see people in transient, you know, people just you know, living off the land and doing different things. They had like the hippie movement that was going on in the 60s. And in that, you had this powerful, you know, charismatic movement. But in that time, great tragedy was taking place. You think about that, you know, President John F. Kennedy was assassinated. In 1963, Dr. Martin Luther King was assassinated, like in 1968. Senator Robert Kennedy, President John F. Kennedy's brother, while he was running for president, was assassinated like a month later after Dr. King. You had Roe versus Wade, where people were saying, you know, let's kill our children. You know, they began to say, you know, let's abort our children. Divorce became, you know, the beginning, the seedbed of divorce was sown to where, you know, you had to have cause to divorce someone back then. You couldn't just say, I'm going to divorce you. You know, you had to go to court and prove that there was a violation, really, of biblical standards to be able to have a divorce. That was just hours ago. And then all this movement, of which our, you know, Secretary Hillary Clinton takes a lot of credit for that movement. She's talking about Planned Parenthood, and she's talking about that she walked or was participating in the time of Gloria Steinem and the woman thing that was going on at the time. And now here we are today, and nobody really knows who they are or what's going on. It's like, you can say, well, that's a negative thing. Well, of course it's a negative thing. It's the adversary beating up on mankind, but understand this. But in the midst of all that, when it looks that bad and droughts happen, that's when all of a sudden God says, now I'm going to move. Now that there's no water anywhere, you can't find any grass for your cattle, that you can't find any milk for your children, that you cannot find a place to lay your head. Now you'll know. He says in Hosea chapter 2, as a matter of fact. In Hosea chapter 2, the book, it's a book by a prophet named Hosea. In chapter 2, he talks about that, you know, I gave you all these things and that, you know, you begin to worship the things that I gave you. and then you begin to make them your lover, and then you begin to turn to them and say, you know, my job is the one that's giving me this money. My hands are what's giving me this money, and you know, the American government's what's giving me this, that kind of thing. And so what God says, I'm going to take it all from you.
That's right.
I'm going to take everything from you. Everything from you. And I'll cause an environment to get to a certain point that you won't want your lovers, the things that you're in love with, whether it's government or business or money, you won't even want, it won't anything to do with you. Y'all just repel each other. That's what he's going to do. So even the very thing that you love to do, that God says don't do, you'll even begin to repel it. Nothing will please you. And he says he does this in Hosea chapter 2. He takes you into the wilderness, into a dry place. And that's what happened in the time with Israel when God told Elijah, he said, you know, I want you to tell government something. I want you to tell them this. I want you to tell the king, it was King Ahab, but it's the government. I want you to tell them that it's not going to rain. And it's real difficult to do. I mean, you know, anybody that moves prophetically, you're always living beyond the hill, and people are always wondering, we finally got here. It's like, yeah, but God has me on the other side of the hill now.
I'm past this hill.
Enjoy yourself. I've been there a while. I'm going to go to the other side. And so he, of course, the government looks at the church and goes, really? For real? Mm-hmm. I didn't even pay attention to it. But you know what? Drought hit. It didn't rain. And the agricultural society, you think about it, an agricultural society that does not have rain, if your cows don't have rain, if your, yeah, you know, your wheat doesn't have rain, your grain doesn't have rain, nothing has rain, you don't have rain to be able to drink in your aquifers or anything of that nature, that you're going to starve.
No crops, that's right.
Your cows are going to starve. Everybody's going to, it's not going to be good. And so in that drought began to happen for 3.5 years. Because a man believed God, a man listened to God. And this is so important because God speaks. And you'll start doubting God's voice because so many people refuse to think that he speaks. Or they don't want to hear what he has to say. They don't want a prophet to come anywhere near them because they're scared that their prophet will change their nonprofit. Mm. You know, a nonprofit is not just a corporation mindset for quite a lot of people. They don't want any prophets around because they got a vision, they got a plan, and they're going to do something. And they don't want people coming around telling them what God's saying, so mess it up.
Yeah.
Versus like, hey, let's just drop everything. If God says something different, do what he's saying.
Yeah.
And so he believed God, and he spoke that prophetic word out. Is he a meteorologist? No, he wasn't somebody that determined the weather. No, he wasn't. He was just a typical, ordinary man, he says about in the book of James. But God told him, I don't know if it was in a dream. I don't know if it was directly. I believe it may have been in a dream. And just said, you know, just tell him it's not going to rain. Can you imagine going to the president of the United States and say, I just want to let you know that God said it's not going to rain. It's like Secret Service, could you get, we got another one of those prophet guys here in the White House. And but he did, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And that's so serious. We have a lot of reserves in America, but there's no reserves at that particular time. And so imagine now, after 3.5 years of famine, what's going to happen? I'll tell you what's going to happen. God's going to speak again. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be a time when God speaks, and you're going to have to go through a season where you're not hearing him. You don't hear God. But you have to remember what he said. People who don't know God, people who follow their flesh, people who live off the natural things of the land, they'll beat the stew out of you. They'll try to destroy you. They'll call you a liar. They'll say all these different things. They'll go, hey, I want to go play with my toys. And you got to hold on. You got to hold on because God said, There's something he's doing here. He wasn't just trying to deprive God's people or the people of the land of water. That's not what he was trying to do. He was trying to show them that he's the one that provides the water. Mm-hmm. Ahab, the king, the government at the time, was worshiping Baal and Asherah and Dagon, and you know, saying that was God and that's who provided for them. And it wasn't, but just like Hosea, he's saying, you're giving these fake gods credit.
That's right.
For what's going on, and that's not true. As a matter of fact, I'll back off the one who actually causes the rain, and we'll just see if your gods, Jezebel, if your gods, Ahab, actually caused things to rain. Of course, they didn't. Mm-hmm. They were all thirsty in 3.5 years, right? And so God speaks to Elijah and says, you know, go tell the government that it's about to rain. And so he goes and tells King Ahab, the government, he says, you know, you better hurry up and get back to your, you know, to the White House. You know, you get back to the government, get to your place, because you got to beat the rain. It's going to rain. It's going to rain so much. It's going to rain so much that you might not be able to make it there. I mean, think about it. This comes from a time of no rain at all. There's like no. It is so dry. I mean, they're out of chapstick. You know what I'm saying? It's just dry. It's dry as can be. But you got to be brave enough. You got to be brave enough. Forget about what people think about. Who cares? You're going to stand eternity with God. You're going to get to heaven with all them folks. They're going to look at you and go, I'll be doggone. Right. It was absolutely God. And so you had to be able to say there's not going to be rain when it was just rain yesterday. You may have rain dripping down your face. But if God told you there's not going to be no rain, and he told you you need to prophesy to the government, and you need to tell them there's not going to be a rain, it might not be for Ahab. It wasn't for Ahab. Ahab was going to die with an arrow through his armor. Jezebel was going to be trampled to death under a whole bunch of horses. It was for all the people that were following. It was the people that were watching the story play out around them. So God may be having you talk to government or authority, not for the authority's sake. They may have made up their mind they're going against God. But everybody else that follows them hears you say that. And so when he delivered that word that there was going to be a drought, he probably was still wet from yesterday's rain. But now it's been 3.5 years with no rain. The government's out looking for some fuel for their trucks, or basically this is what was going on. They're out looking for grass for their horses because they couldn't find grass anywhere. And all of a sudden he runs into Elijah. And just in case you don't know this, the government hated the prophet because every time he prophesied, it was like, oh, you're just giving me hard words, as if he was making those words up himself. And he would credit the prophet for the words versus God speaking to him. Man, God's speaking to you right now. I want you to encourage you to pay attention because, I mean, you don't want to miss God. And Ahab, the government, actually thought it was mankind. He thought it was a political party. He thought it was some sort of, it's God speaking to us even right now in America. But anyway, so here he's so dry. Everything is so dry. Here again, he has to go to government and he has to say in the presence of dryness, you know, just parched land and empty aquifers and not even grass, not even brown grass, it's just dead stuff. He had to look somebody square in the eye and say, it's going to rain. It's going to rain. And it's going to rain so bad that if you don't get on your horse and you get back to your palace, you're not going to make it there. These are people that fear God. When you're willing to do that, and there's a lot of people do that because that's what they want, and they're not hearing from God. But I'm talking about if you hear from God, I mean, God needs some people that's going to repeat what he tells them to say. Because people need to understand that God speaks. If you haven't gone to EZ12.org, just look how God speaks, EZ12.org. But he speaks. He's constantly speaking. The question is, are we listening to him, and are we following what he's saying? And so here he was talking to this dry king. I'm sure he actually crackled when he rode on his horse. It was so dry. Probably the horse is all shriveled up looking at bones and stuff out there. The horse is like, and this, you know, sweat on their stuff. So here, look at this. But he was brave enough to look and say, you know what? It's gonna rain. It's going to rain so bad that you're not going to make it back to your palace. But you know what he had to do? He had to go back and begin to pray.
Mm-hmm.
So many people prophesy, but they never pray. He actually had to pray that it would happen as God called it to be. He had to call in the rain.
Yeah.
So many people say, this is what God told me, but have you even prayed? Have you even asked? I thank God for those that are in the VFN prayer and fasting community because they ask God continually and pray. And we're seeing so many answers to prayer. It is amazing. But just because God says it doesn't mean it's going to happen unless we get in agreement with heaven what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do that. Imagine if the church begins to pray the will of God and what he's saying. And so he sent his servant out there to look up if he saw anything in the clouds. Now, he already has the word out there already. It's already broadcasted around the world. You know, they're picking it up in South Korea going, you know, Greg Lancaster says it's going to rain, right? And so, you know, he's got his head between his knees basically going, dear God, let it rain now, you know? And he sends his servant out there and he says, what do you see? And it was probably was Pat. He's coming back and goes, I don't see nothing. It doesn't look like rain. It's dry as possible for me. Probably shouldn't have said that. No, he didn't. It's not what Pat would say. But the thing about it is that he didn't see anything. Yeah. He was honest. So he said, let's pray some more. So he prays some more. And he says, go look again. And he says, what do you see? And eventually God showed him that there was an army, a host of army of all of God's angels around them. Do you know, you have, God is just orchestrating an outpouring for the world. That's what he's doing right now. We can either cooperate with him and prepare for what he's going to do, or we could allow the flood to flow right over us and go, you know, I knew about that, but I just missed the whole thing, right? This is what God is preparing for, an outpouring. He's preparing for such a huge wave of his glory to hit this earth. But you have to understand what happens. You have to begin to pray and get in agreement. Don't be in agreement with the drought. Get in agreement with God who's getting with God who's actually getting everybody ready to cry out for rain. And so he looks around and he sees, God gives him the ability to see in the heavenlies how the heavenly host is gathered all around them. And God was getting ready to just start rain. He says, wait a minute, I think I see a cloud. But it's the size of a man's hand. Elijah quits praying. It's done. It's a done deal. Isn't it awesome? He tucked in his
cloak
and his Reebok. He took off and beats the king to his place.
Yeah.
Imagine how exciting this is, that you know, get invited to what God's saying. You know what happened? Just like God said, it began to pour. And God brought a whole nation and confronted their false gods and their image and Baal and Dagon and Asherah and brought all of Jezebel's prophets in and called down fire. God, the answer is by fire. And it just happened. But it began understanding the drought that we're in. We're fixing to go to a break right here. We're going to come back. We're going to continue talking about this. But understand, just like we saw historically and what's taking place in the move of God, we have to get in alignment and agreement with heaven and begin to call down what God is saying. And this is what God's saying. God is saying this. He's saying that there's a billion soul harvest coming. A billion souls coming in the kingdom of God. And not just a billion, just any age souls. Young folks coming into the kingdom of God. A great harvest is going to begin in 2020. Right now, you need to become a disciple. If you know Jesus Christ, but you've never been discipled, you got to get discipled because God's going to need you to participate in the harvest. If you don't know Jesus, you need to meet him. Before this program's up, we'll tell you how to actually meet him. But first, we have this offer for you. Today's offer is offer 2014 for your partnership of any amount whatsoever. Did you know it's our partners that help make this possible? That's right. The offer is 2014 for any gift at all. It is living a pleasing life, a new Christian life in the Lord, a life of faith. God has called us to a new life. Quite often, if you're walking and feeling downcast and feeling, you know, what is this all about? Quite often religion has done that to us. But you know, God has called us to an abundant life, a new life. But it requires us to not only go to the cross, but get up on the cross and begin to live this new life in Jesus Christ. It's available to you right now. It's going to encourage you. It is offer 2014, living a pleasing life, a new Christian lifestyle in the Lord, a life of faith. Become a partner today by going to VFNTV.com, choose partner now, or by emailing VFNTV at 6500 North Pensacola Boulevard, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. Or you can even call toll-free at 844-408-3688. That's offer 2014. It'll come right to you as your gift.
We're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back. The purpose of sports should always be how to gain skills that can be used for later in life.
There are lots of benefits when kids play sports, and here's David King with some of those on today's Focus on the Family Minute.
You've also learned what it takes to become the best you can be at what you're doing, which is what I would want for the physician who's going to operate on me or something like that. So you can learn you learn what your potential is. You learn what to do or how to handle a situation when you don't succeed. And you learn how to deal with someone else impeding your progress towards success. So you may work your tail off at bidding this job in the construction company and somebody's going to undercut you. Well, when you were playing that sport, the referee also stepped in and made a call that wasn't quite right either. And so now you've learned how to deal with those things.
Hear more from David King about balancing sports and family at familyminute.org.
I wanted to be able to tell you, if you haven't yet heard,
that you can go to VFNTV.com and sign up for our newsletter. It's called The Torch. As a matter of fact, you're probably seeing it on your screen right now. You go right to the front page of the VFN Torch, and you click on, you see in the upper right-hand corner? You click on sign up for the newsletter, and there it is. You can sign up. You see the flame burning right there. Fill out your information here, push submit, and boom, every single week you will receive a newsletter with that week's program sliced up. Think about it, sliced up segments that, you know, whatever segments to you. I want to make sure you do that because we work extra hard to make sure that you can get it ever how you need to be able to get it. And because listen, if only 9% in 2009 had a biblical worldview, in other words, they had a light, L-I-G-H-T, perspective of the world, it's a lot less than that now. Mm-hmm. And with hearing the light of God's, you know, it's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. To have that light perspective of what's going on, it's going to help you have a biblical worldview of your decision making, of why you're going to get married or why you're going to need to stay married or why you need to have family or why you need to pay taxes, why you need to function. I mean, we got to move past that. And one thing we can do that is by signing up for The Torch and getting it sent to you every single week. Every single week. And in that, it has the offers and things that are going on as well.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Is this not exciting? If you missed our beginning of our program, we're talking about, you know, God has been speaking about a great harvest, a great revival from the way that I'm actually seeing what God is showing me and others as it's so large.
Yeah.
There's so many people that God is preparing their hearts. They've tried everything. They've done everything. They've tasted everything. They've touched everything. God gave them over to everything that like the prodigal. And they realize, you know what? This is not God.
Yeah. Not found in
this. This is empty. God will never let you completely fill up the God-shaped hole in your life. I mean, God is the only one that can fill that up.
It's true.
But when he fills it up, I mean, you have this peace that passes all understanding.
That's right.
There's nothing like it. Somebody says, you know, why do you do what you do? Because God filled my heart up with the love and his presence. And it's like, what else can we do?
Yeah.
And how could we not be willing to pass it to the next generation? Why would we just hoard it to ourselves? And God's been preparing us and many folks for what's about to take place. Imagine 1,000 people a week. I want you to hear, this is what God told Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries. Imagine 1,000 people a week coming into your church. You know, so many people, you know, your church gathering, so many people are like, Bob, you know, he visited the church last week and we're so glad to have Bob. Let's show him where the Sunday school class is and, you know, those kind of things. Now imagine having 1,000 Bobs come in that week. And so 1,000. And then imagine the next week
1,000 more.
Another 1,000 people get saved, and they're trying to find people who know Jesus. And as you heard earlier in the program, you know, Pastor John Kilpatrick of Church of His Presence, he was prophesying. He said, listen, if they can't come to Christians, if they can't come to the church to find the answers, where are they going to go?
They're going to find them. That's right.
So you need to get discipled. A disciple is somebody, not somebody who says they're a disciple. A disciple is someone who actually knows Jesus, made Jesus the Lord of their life, who actually gets into God's Word, finds out what his teachings are, what he says, how we're to live our life, a Christian lifestyle, and it's going to shock you. We actually follow it. I mean, if he says take a right,
do it.
If Jesus says take a right, that's not interpreted, let's take a vote. You know what I'm saying? We just take a right. He's God. Mm-hmm. It's not a democracy with God. He's God. But it's okay. He loves you. He's got a great plan for your life. But imagine, in this harvest, this is what's coming. And so, becoming a disciple, you want to be a disciple. Secondly, you want to be prepared to make disciples. Only disciples can make disciples. You know, we got evangelists are going to do their job. They're the ones that go out and just scream and holler, and, you know, and God moves, and people get excited. Then they blow up.
Blow in, blow out.
And blow out, and you're left with the whole harvest, and you have to raise the harvest. They did what they're supposed to do. But you got to be prepared to disciple those believers.
Clean them up, raise them up.
Listen to what Rick Joyner, what the Lord showed him.
These times are harvest times. Think about this.
how would your church handle 1,000 new members every week? And we all think that would be incredible. It will kill you. But we've got to start thinking like that. I tell you, we need to raise up hundreds of thousands of teachers. The evangelism is going to happen. Evangelists are getting anointed. This is going to happen. We need teachers ready to take new believers and get them established soundly on sound doctrine and made disciples, not just converts. One of the greatest reasons for the greatest weakness, I think, today is we've been making converts instead of disciples. No, the Great Commission's to make disciples, and we've got to be that first if we're going to make others. We need hundreds of thousands of people equipped right now to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to preach the gospel, to lay a solid foundation in new believers' lives. What I'm saying is we've got to fulfill the Ephesians 4 mandate to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. It is not going to work on the model of ministry that is now demonstrated in much of the church. Where you, it's like a spectator sport. You pay your entry fee and come watch a few people do it every week. No, we've all got to be engaged. I believe there's a home group movement, and we've had many and great ones. I believe you're going to have home groups in every single neighborhood that are solid, where God is moving, where He is doing awesome things every week, every day, and where people are bonded together.
So could you imagine 1,000 people? There's no building's going to contain this.
Yeah.
No building. By the way, just to relieve you a little bit of pressure here, you are the building of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's what He says in the Word. He says, you are the building of God. You know, God's workmanship. He's working on you. When God's talking about sin in the temple, you know, He's not talking about something happening in your building up the street. Mm-hmm. He's talking about sin inside of us.
In our hearts. Yeah.
And the judgment begins in the house of God. He's not talking about the building on Mr. Boulevard or Mrs. Boulevard up the street. He's talking about sin in our hearts.
Yeah.
When he says that the reason why your house is desolate is because my house is desolate, that's interpreted in the new covenant that He's talking about, that we're not filling ourselves up with the Word of God. But the exciting thing is, that's what we're designed for.
Mm-hmm.
This is our purpose in life. This is where we find joy and fulfillment and eternity's for real. And we have a little moment in time to be able to prepare for it. And there's not a greater feeling than to see the next generation get on fire for God. And we just set them on spiritual fire and watch them burn for God.
Yeah.
This is a very intelligent generation. And they know what to do. God's gonna raise them up in a powerful way. And it's like an Azusa 2.0 that we're going to begin to see. And we talked about Azusa 2.0 or Azusa Now.
Yeah.
At the Angela, was it Angela Stadium?
It was in the Los Angeles Stadium.
Yeah, it was sort of the A. It was one that Billy Graham was at that was there. That's okay. But anyways, the California Anaheim Stadium, where they were there just crying out for a second Azusa Street. And that's some of the words the Lord told us was, you know, Azusa 2.0. I was on a sabbatical, spending some time with the Lord, just trying to hear from God. And as I was going, the Lord talked to me about Azusa Street, which was like 1908 or
1906.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden I found out I was going to be staying in my address that God had me at during that time was 1906.
Yeah.
I'm like, it takes a lot from me, right? And so then I'm cut off from all this communication, you know, this communication with God. But for some reason, my phone rings. And guess who it is? It's an African pastor calling me. And if you don't know this or not, but the Azusa Street was from an African-American pastor. His name was William Seymour.
Mm-hmm.
And this African pastor, he begins to tell me, he just begins to cry out, and he says, what America needs is a second Azusa Street, another Azusa Street. I'm like, goodness, well, how am I getting this call, and how is he calling me, you know? And it's like, just like Elijah, we just have to hold fast. There's that time of drought. There's that time that everybody gets prepared. God speaks. You look around the moment he speaks and nobody's interested because they're in their false areas of their life. But then God says, oh, they'll get interested. Mm-hmm. They'll get thirsty. They'll get hungry. And then you go through a time of drought. And all of a sudden people are like, all the things that used to distract them, they don't distract them anymore. They begin to cry out, you know, help us.
Yeah.
Parents that didn't think they needed God begin to cry out because their kids are going through crisis. Spouses that didn't think they needed God because they had their marriage. All of a sudden, now they're crying out to God because their marriage is crumbling. All of a sudden, people who thought they had their government that didn't need God, they're watching their government go cuckoo gaga, right? It's crazy.
Yeah.
And they begin to say, government, there's no hope in government. And they begin to cry out for God. And then all of a sudden, it just begins to rain. A second Azusa Street. So prior to Azusa Now, which took place for Lou Engle, mm-hmm. you know, it was just a powerful move of God where it opened up with, I think, the Korean church began to speak a blessing because of the Korean War.
Yeah.
They wanted to come as saying thank you to America, the American soldiers, the people that sacrificed for South Korea so that South Korea could be free. If the American soldier would not have went to Korea, it would be all like North Korea. North Korea, it's because of regime and Kim Jong-un and he's playing a big role in a lot of dark things that are taking place right now. But because Americans went there and died to bring freedom to Korea, South Korea, that's why we actually have so many different blessings today, and they're blessed today. So they came to Azusa Now saying, listen, we want to say thank you. We want to be the ones that open up the Azusa Now. So the nations came from everywhere.
Right. And you think about that very gathering that took place on the West Coast was that Lou Engle was moving in agreement with the prophetic word that William Seymour delivered in 1906 saying, yes, God is moving now, but in about 100 years, God is going to move in a greater way that's far going to surpass everything that we're seeing now back in 1906. So 100 years forward, plus, and Lou Engle talks more about this in Azusa Now, but that is what was taking place when Lou Engle was gathering, and all the churches coming from all over the world was that, do it again, God. Do it again.
The young folks, I mean, we showed the program. We got to see it. Hopefully we'll make it reference to you on VFNTV.com. But the young folks cried out. They said, listen, let's make a covenant. The way you make a covenant is you take off your shoes and say, listen, I'll go. And all these shoes came off of the entire stadium. These young folks saying, we'll go. And guess what? God's still going to take you up on that.
That's right.
Even if you may have changed your foot. And if you'll commit to God, he'll commit to you. This is what God's wanting. God's wanting someone to believe him. You know, Joyce Meyer said this, and I totally agree with it. He says, the issue with the church is that we have a whole bunch of unbelieving believers. Mm. I mean, do we believe God? Does God have to move like a microwave in your life? If he gives a prophetic word, does it have to happen within a week, or all of a sudden you walk away from God? If it doesn't happen in the context of a month or happen within the first 5 years of your walk with God, are you just going to throw your hands up? If God tells you that he's going to deliver a whole nation through you, but all of a sudden you got to go through times of rejection from your father, or times of rejection from your brothers like Joseph did, times of being thrown into a pit, you know, which really could stand for preachers in training. You're at a church and a ministry thinking, how did I get here? This is not my concept of ministry. This one guy says, you know, I prayed for a church and I got a church full of preacher killers. They're trying to kill me. They like the last seven didn't make it.
Wow.
And so that time of pressure, but you had the call. Remember the dream that God gave Joseph. And so you got to hold on to what God said. Then he gets sold into slavery, getting killed because they were going to kill him. So here he is. Here he is now. He's in slavery. He's working for Potiphar. I mean, just think about that. How many people, when things get tough,
somebody's
like, I'm only getting $14.95 an hour. I'm like, Americans, right? It's like, we're the richest people in the whole world. Mm-hmm. Our poorest person's richer than 70% of the world's population. But all of a sudden, times get difficult, and people just start saying, well, forget, I can't remember. What did the Lord say about me? I can't remember that prophetic word. Well, Joseph held on to it.
Mm-hmm.
Then he began to work in government. He began to work for the governor, basically, and work in Potiphar's house, and be the manager of all his things. And he got promoted from slavery to that. And you're thinking, well, this is great. I'm not going to sell out this union job for God. I'm going to stay with this government. No, he didn't. He didn't sell out God. He stayed with God. Even when he stayed with God, that meant he had to say, you know, I can't sleep with the boss's wife.
Mm-hmm.
because she actually wanted to
falsely accuse him.
Well, no, she actually wanted to commit adultery with him, or him to commit adultery with her, and she couldn't. He ran so fast, he ran straight out of his clothes and took off running, trying to honor God and honor his boss. And guess what? It still went bad. This is how a move of God happens. Hmm. How many people have given up on this journey? How many people have given up on this journey because they're thinking like, oh my goodness, now I'm in the front page of the papers and my boss's wife is lying to everybody saying she was saying that he raped her and he ran from her.
Mm-hmm.
He ran from her. But yet he was being accused of sexual crime that wasn't true. But guess what? The boss still sends him to jail. How many people would go, well, I'm not going to listen to a prophetic word from Joseph anymore. He really didn't hear a dream what's going on. I mean, he's just trying to destroy what God's saying. All these lies are being told against him. And he's trying to get him to not believe anymore, trying to get his brothers and his family not to believe anymore. But guess what? After a couple of years of being in prison, of course, he gets promoted in prison. He's running the prison. God's got a move coming. All of a sudden, the leader, Pharaoh, God says, now. And what does he do? Just like he did with Elijah. He tells the leader of the government, you got a problem coming that you can't solve. He told him in his sleep in a dream, he said, this is an unbeliever who had a dream. So don't tell me unbelievers can't have a dream. And just because you have a dream don't mean you're a believer. So he's talking to the government, head of the government, Pharaoh, and he's saying, you got a drought coming. But he didn't even understand that. He had some skinny cows and some fat cows, and the fat, skinny cows were eating the fat cows and all this different kind of stuff. And so God put it on Pharaoh's heart to turn and ask people around him, says, do you know anybody that can interpret dreams? And guess what? There was a prisoner who was accused of a sexual crime, who used to be a slave, unpaid labor, who was rejected by his family and father and had this horrific time, pit, preachers and dreams, serious time. You know, all of a sudden they said, Joseph, he's the one.
Yeah.
And they took him, cleaned him up, bought him out of jail, stood him before the governmental leader, and said, I had a dream last night. I mean, how many people at that point just go, I don't even care. I don't even want to hear. You don't understand how God works. Listen, I just feel like right now God's breathing new life into you. I mean, you went on this journey and you're thinking, and everybody's agreeing with it because they don't have a clue. They haven't heard the voice of God, but you've heard the voice of God and you know what he said to you, despite what everybody else said to you about what he said. And you, I want to encourage you. Realize God was letting you in on what he's doing. You weren't telling God what you're going to do. He was telling you what he's going to do. He was inviting you into his plans. He revealed to you, like he says in Proverbs 1, he says, I reveal my secrets to you. And when he reveals his secrets to you, don't think, oh my goodness, I gotta hold his secret because it'll fall apart. You know, oh, I think this low-paid wage job is going to cause me to lose this thing, or oh my gosh, they're lying about me and accusing me of false things and twisting everything I say or do. Oh my goodness, what's going to happen? Or just like, I'm tired of it because I got a call in my life. The enemy's just pounding me. Just say, you know what? I can't do this sin against God. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust God through this whole thing. And so when he appears before the government, just like Elijah had to, and the Pharaoh says, this is my dream. He says, I can't interpret dreams. But God could interpret dreams, and God gave him the interpretation. He said, you got 7 years of famine coming. And then Joseph said, you need to find somebody that has the wisdom to be able to run this government. And of course, he wasn't promoting himself at all. At that point, he's just like, you know. And then the government says, I can't find nobody but you. I mean, who would be the one? If you're the one that can hear God, you run this thing. And so Joseph he was the second man in charge.
Over an entire nation.
The one that his father rejected when he told him the story. His brothers sold him into slavery and hated him. The slavery is a bad paying job if you don't know that. And he's accused of sexual crime. If it was today, they would have him on the predator, or what is that called? Database.
I don't know.
Joseph would be on that database because they lied on him. And so you look at this. And now he's second man in charge. Don't let anybody stop you from believing the word of God and what he says. And here he is, the second man in charge. And what happened? His entire family, his entire nation, all of his people, all of God's people, because Joseph did not let go of what God said. Because Elijah didn't let go of what God said. You think about it. Are you letting go of what God says? Are you allowing this crazy stuff going on right now to define the famine, to define what God said to you? Or are you thinking like, man, it's about to rain. It's about to rain. Pharaoh's about to ring up myself. I'm about to get a text from the White House, right? It's about to rain. And he, everybody began to bring all the food to Joseph. Joseph began to store up all the food that there ever was. They brought it to him, and they began to sell their property to him, and everything became under Joseph. Mm-hmm. And his family came in, the nation came in, and they gave them the best land, the best place, and they didn't do anything for it. But they benefited off of Joseph hanging in there and holding on to what God was doing. I hear this young girl right now. I remember she was saying this. She was going like, what do you hear? Elijah sent his servant out and says, what do you hear? And he starts like, you know, I hear the sound of rain.
That's right.
I want you to just hear this in your voice. Hear this in your ear. Hear this in your heart. Begin to say this. Listen to her.
I hear the abundance of rain. I hear the abundance of rain. I hear the abundance of rain.
I want to ask you, what are you hearing? I'm hearing the abundance of rain. That's right. I'm seeing a cloud the size of a man's hand. I'm telling you, you better get to where you need to get before the rain comes, because you're going to miss the move of God, what God's about to do on the face of the earth. I want to encourage you. If you don't know Jesus, you need to go to meetmyfather.org and find out how to make him God, the Lord of your life, through Jesus, the Lord of your life, through Jesus Christ. You got to know Father God. Go to meetmyfather.org, where we shared our testimonies. You got to get discipled. We have Emmaus Road for you. Go to vinefellowshipnetwork.org. You can see it right here on your screen. And sign up for Emmaus Road and start being a disciple. Get ready, because it's going to rain. You need to know how to swim. And you want to be a part of the most exciting thing that ever happened on the face of the earth. But let me pray for you right now. Father God, I just even hear, even now, the sound of rain. I see clouds the size of men's hands. That you are not, I thank you, Lord, that you're not a man, that you would lie, or the son of man, that you would change your mind, that you don't speak and not act and promise and not fulfill. And this drought does not define who we are and does not define where we're going. God, and I just thank you right now that people that weren't hungry are hungry now, and they're crying out to you, God. And I pray that rain would begin to come in their prayer life. Rain would begin to come in their mind, their mental capabilities, God, that the rain of heaven would come down over their marriage and their family and their kids and their home and their job. And rain would come down. Revival, a great awakening would come down over this nation, God. Lord, we're just calling down the fire from heaven, yes. God, to come down. Fuego, yes. Fire to come down from heaven over this nation, God, and begin to burn the dross out, Father God, and set our hearts on fire for what's going to be taking place, God. We thank you, God, that everything you said has happened, is happening, and is going to happen, Father God, and we trust you in this. Dear God, send revival. Send a third great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name, God bless.
Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget, you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
The VFN Torch takes VFN radio to the next level. Listen, you can't show pictures and you can't play videos when you're listening to the radio, but we have it available for you. Take it to the next level, linking resources. As a matter of fact, when you hear about one particular article or segment that's going on at VFN radio, there might be four or five other segments that we did over that quarter or several months that you can tie together. Why? It's available for you. It's called the VFN Torch, just like the torch that Gideon carried, the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN Torch.